WBUR Boston. I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Super pop icon Cyndi Lauper soared in the 1980s with sparkling hits like She Bop and Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and her gleefully eccentric Just Doing My Own Thing take on life and art. She was huge, a superstar, and then she went her own way. All over, film roles, TV, Broadway, activism, even a turn on Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice. And lately, down to Memphis for a stroll with the blues. This hour on Point, the irrepressible Cyndi Lauper on her life and music and singing the blues. You can join the conversation. Cyndi Lauper is in the house. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And you can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from the Radio Foundation in New York is Cyndi Lauper, Grammy and Emmy Award-winning singer and songwriter. Back when they sold records, she sold many, many millions. Won a Grammy for Best New Artist in 1985 with her debut album, She's So Unusual. 5 top 10 hits off that single album. She's worked in film acting, on TV's Bones and Mad About You, has kept right on recording, and is big in activism on gay rights and AIDS awareness. Her songs, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, Time After Time, Money Changes Everything, and All Through the Night were huge 80s standards. These days, she's happily singing the blues. Her CD, Memphis Blues, was the best-selling blues album of 2010 and received a Grammy nomination. Her live concert DVD, just released, is To Memphis with Love. You can hear something from it right behind us right now. Cyndi Lauper, it's great to have you with us. Thanks so much for being here.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
It's going great.
How's the weather over there?
Oh, it's fine. We're not complaining at all, and we're kind of amazed to have you so bluesy in our ears. Did this come naturally for you, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, girl, or was it a big turn of voice of mine to go to the blues?
No, when I started singing, I was in a Janis Joplin cover band.
Okay.
So I actually started singing the blues, and then it's really the foundation of every kind of music you listen to today on the radio anyway. And it's always good to go back and just do it again and learn. And why not go back with the masters? And they're playing in Memphis. And I played with the high rhythm section. And those are the guys that played on the Al Green records, where I learned how to sing listening to him, and Ann Peebles and Isaac Hayes, the Stax records. I mean, a lot of wonderful, wonderful music comes from Memphis and the birth of rock and roll. And so why not? Why not go and do that? And besides the fact, Tom, most of the people nowadays are singing the blues. It's a rough times. And I always felt that the blues was very uplifting. And it's ironic because it was written by people who were oppressed, who constantly wrote music that was uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, as, you know, my job, you look around you, you see what's happening, and you sing to the people. And that, I thought, I could sing to them something that was familiar, but something that was uplifting. And so the power of music, I believe in the power of music. And that's what led me to singing this. And I had planned to do it for years, but you know, these days just seem the perfect time.
It's great to have you with us and hear the Queen of Queens with your Queens accent coming right back on and flowing right into Memphis and doing it so beautifully. I just love it. It's fantastic. You know, I'm really curious, though. We'll hear in just a moment where these two things merge. But there you were all the way back in, I guess, what, the late 70s or early 80s, covering Janis Joplin. And the next thing the whole world knows.
No, the mid-70s.
Mid-70s. Okay, I mean, you were 30-something when the whole world came to know you, and you were into...
No, I was 30.
Okay, 30. Okay, 30. Right on the nose.
Listen, I had a headache that day. I went to bed. I didn't want to talk to anybody.
Okay.
They knocked on my door. They said, get up already.
Yes, I remember it, too. Turning 30 has its own trial. But what was it in the culture then that took you from covering, let's say, Janis Joplin in a bluesy sound to that real kind of sparkling, eccentric sort of sound that we all knew from She's So Unusual? Where did that sound come from in response to that time?
Well, if you listen to She's So Unusual, you listen, say, to a song like Girls Just Want to Have Fun, which I was always proud to be part of, and was a song about entitlement to me, to all women, not just white women, but all colors of women. That's why in the video I really tried hard to have kind of everybody represented, little rainbow tribe, so that every little girl could see that and know that she was entitled to a joyful life. And so I was always thinking, I would look and see what was missing. And it would really bug me, and I'd say, yeah, well, I'll do that then. And I think I used color. Color is a great healer.
You were certainly colorful, right up to your hair and right on beyond. I mean,
that's good for me too. Yeah. And I was like a painting to myself. Yeah. I would paint myself, and I think that if you listen to the phrasing or you listen to girls, that's kind of like a bluesy phrasing sung in a trumpet key, a little influenced by Bob Marley.
Yeah.
But Bob Marley was doing a kind of bluesy reggae singing.
We've got a little bit, Cyndi Lauper, from a performance that you did at the Warehouse in Memphis at a concert just last December. This is on the new DVD, To Memphis with Love.
Was this one of your favorites?
Just to see where the two merged. My favorites are straight in the blues camp, and we'll come to them. But just to flash back for a minute, here in that Memphis setting is Cyndi Lauper just last year with a 2010 rendition of Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Oh, well.
Cyndi Lauper still rocking it out there in Memphis with Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Cyndi, if we may.
Tom, the beginning of that is funnier.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
That just sounds like the same song. But it's Charlie Musselwhite was playing harp.
Harmonica,
What we do is I tell Archie Hubby Turner, who worked with Willie Mitchell since he was 12, because that was his stepdad. And he plays like a bluesy thing. And I start usually singing it very Otis Redding, very because it's really fun. And in that sense, it was very funny. And when, say, Michael Tolles, who is from the Stax Band, when we stop and go, some boys take a beautiful girl, he's playing that like shaft lick.
We heard,
but it isn't really. Well, but it's funny.
We heard just a little bit of Charlie Musselwhite at the end there. I want to get a little bit of your real blues sound in here before we come into a break, Cyndi.
Okay.
Here's Down So Low. This is from the Memphis Blues CD. A cover
of
Tracy
Nelson. Tracy Nelson.
Exactly.
Tracy Nelson wrote it, and Charlie Musselwhite.
Here we go. Cyndi Lauper.
And it's not losing. Got me down so low. I just can't find another man to take your place. And I know your opinion of me isn't good. Please try.
Cyndi Lauper, like maybe you've never heard her. I'm not a singer, Cindy, but it sounds so much fun to open up on those big notes on opinion and understand. It sounds fun.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to play from live the To Love, Memphis with Love. That, to Memphis with Love was recorded live with Tracy Nelson. We actually got Tracy Nelson to come and play and sing.
I wish we had that. This is off the CD that came first, I guess. And there you
are. Yeah, that's the Memphis Blues CD. Yeah, that's the one that... That was the first, one of the first songs that I sang with these guys. And I just came in, and they were so used to, you know, Willie Mitchell was a horn player. So they were used to the horn player guy in first. And they were older guys. Mm-hmm. And I think the drummer in the recording that you played, he really didn't know who I was, which was a good thing.
Yeah.
See,
just
then I didn't have anything against me. You know, just was, except that I was a white woman coming in, and a white and a woman, you know, but they, you know, telling them.
Right.
But they were so gracious, these guys, and they're so wonderful, and they're such great musicians. And I hardly did. I just would say, oh, could we try it like that? And they just would play, and I tried to, you know, sing.
Well, you sure did. We're going to hear a lot more of that, Cindy. We're up against a break here. Cindy Lauper is with us. You can join us, 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Here's I Drove All Night, 1989. Cindy, stand by in New York. It's so great to have you here. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with pop icon Cindy Lauper of True Colors, Girls Just Want to Have Fun, and much more about life, art, her activism, and most lately, singing the blues. Behind us right there, Down Don't Bother Me, a cover of Albert King's 1967 song. It's off her new DVD To Memphis with Love. In concert, Cindy says, I chose this song because I felt it had a lot of spirit and because I felt that right now, that what we all needed was some spirit that makes you get back up again. Cindy Lauper joins us today from New York, and you can join us as well. Were you there when Cindy Lauper was tearing it up with Girls Just Want to Have Fun, when she was rocking the 80s alongside Prince and Michael Jackson and Madonna? What did she stand for to you then? What about now? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Cindy, we've got people lining up to talk with you. Heather in East Providence, Rhode Island. Heather, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Cindy Lauper.
Hi, Tom.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Heather. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I just wanted to say thank you for everything you've done. You've had such a major impact on my life, my whole life. I actually met you in 1986 when I was 12 on your True Colors tour. And it was a completely life-changing experience for me. My parents brought me to the concert. It was my very first concert. After the show was over, they took me to the back door. In the middle of the night, we waited with all these college kids. The guy kept coming to the door telling us that you were gone and we should go home. And we just waited, and all the college kids were chanting, like, to let the kid in. And finally, after I don't even know how long, he, like, slapped this backstage pass on my pink jeans, and he, like, took me back to meet you. And it was this, you know, this big room, and I saw you across the room, and I sort of just like floated over there. I don't even remember walking. I was just in such an incredible daze. And I remember I walk up to you and I think I said, I love you. And you were so sweet and so kind. You gave me a huge hug and an autograph. And it was just an incredible experience for me.
Aw. Well, what do you do now?
I'm a designer, so I make, and I'm a mom, and I have a coffee shop. I do all kinds of stuff.
Excellent. Excellent.
But you've really, I mean, it's, I just, I love everything you've done, everything you continue to do, and I just wanted to say thank you. And I actually, and everything you were saying before, I feel like I'm going to ramble. I'm going to try not to ramble, but what you're saying before about color and everything, it's so perfect. I just did this. I drew a picture of you for a Women Who Rock coloring book that benefits this amazing organization here called Girls Rock Rhode Island. So I didn't, they asked me to do a page, and I didn't hesitate for a second to know that I would want to do you. So you're in it. I would love to send you one. Is there?
Heather, send it to us at onpointradio.org, and we'll get it on to Cindy Lauper for you. We'd love to do that.
Oh, that would be awesome. I would be so psyched.
Cindy, here's so your great. Good karma coming back to praise you all those years after you took a little kid, 12-year-old kid in 12-year-old pink jeans and signed an autograph for her. Good for you. Hey, Jason in Bluffton, South Carolina. Jason, you're on the air with Cindy Lauper.
Hello, Tom. Hello, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. I can't complain. I'm working full time.
Lucky man. Good you.
Yeah, I love your stuff, Mrs. Lauper, and I love what you stand for and all that kind of stuff. And I'd like to maybe, you know, I think your music sounds better live.
Oh, you do?
It grows.
It grows.
Hypothetically,
live.
I've never heard you live, but I think your music would sound better live.
Okay.
Hypothetically, okay. Better live, Jason. Right. I appreciate that. I mean, Cindy, you did come out of a time in the '80s with your big hits. You know, had a lot of sort of synthetic pop almost.
But that wasn't synthetic. I never put anything on my voice. I wouldn't let them. So when I signed to Portrait at the time, the guy told me I would always have my creative freedom, and that's why I went. And so what you heard is what you got. There was no tricks.
Absolutely no tricks, but still to sit down with the kind of musicians that you're working with in Memphis and just do it sort of raw right off the stage, I think Jason in South Carolina is responding to that, terrific sound.
Oh, they're great musicians. The thing is, after a while, you have to look at that whole True Colors tour, the first one. After that, I realized that there's no sense in trying to recreate the record all the time, because I was so worried that people would think, oh, it doesn't sound anything like the record. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that was, and now I just look around and see the band and whatever I hear. I've become a better band leader, and I was a good arranger when I started, but I'm a better arranger now. And I just think it should be in the moment. And the whole thing I've always tried to keep doing is connect, everyone listening to each other and connecting to each other, because music is really based on call and response.
Yes.
So if you don't listen, and the thing that's different about singing when you first start, even if you start singing the blues, is nobody in the band is listening to each other. They're just playing out really loud.
Yeah.
No? But as you get older, you start to understand the quality of performance is really based on being in the moment and listening and always responding to what you listen to and having each other's back. It creates unity. And that, in the right key, in the right rhythm, will bring the spirit down. And that's why I think music is so relevant, because it brings the spirit down. It lifts the people's spirits up. It can change the mood in a room.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
can speak to a time. I mean, you were a real kick up your heels girl from Ozone Park. left home at 17. I read ended up in the woods in Vermont with your dog Sparkle, if I've got that right. And we've got a listener here on Facebook, Cindy, who says, I heard Cindy used to live in the woods. Well, she was in college in Johnson, Vermont. Can she talk about how this shaped her into the artist she is today? Did you have a vision in the woods, Cindy?
Well, I had a wonderful art teacher before I left. I was trying really desperately to fit in. Everyone kept saying, you know, what if you fail? You have to have something to fall back on. And I failed at everything. I failed in school. I failed at jobs. And I tried really hard, too. But I just, you know, was one of the worst waitresses. They used to ask me if I was a comedian.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah. Well, you know, the breakfast shift is hard.
Yeah,
you got to
vacuum
and set up.
Right,
and
right.
People used to get up and get their own, you know, plates when it was ready.
Right.
So, you know, the boss
ahead
was a little upset.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had my teacher, Bob Burrell, who was a wonderful artist. He, actually, in the 40s, the late 40s, I don't know what you would call that. It was an abstract naturalism kind of thing right after Cubism. And he was, his heritage was Native American mm-hmm. and I guess English. And his name was Bob Burrell. And he used to talk to us about everything, about, you know, civil rights, about the Kennedys, about the history of the Kennedys, about Martin Luther King, about Gandhi, about Thoreau. And I went into the woods. We had planned it. We mapped out my trail of how I was going to go to Canada on his kitchen floor. We had a map and how I would eat every day and how much money it would cost. And
yeah.
I went to the woods and I did a tree study because I wanted to be a painter, not a house painter.
Right.
You know, an artist.
No, we got it.
And, yeah, that's what they used to say in the neighborhood. Oh, you want to be a painter? No, you know. And he used to say some of the ladies there would buy the paintings to just cover the holes in the wall.
Yeah.
You know, but he was an extraordinary teacher. And when I went into those woods, I thought I would go mad a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to face my demons, and I wanted to draw. And I had my dog and, you know, my little chopping stick and knife and things and little things I needed to eat and my tent. And I came out, and I went to Vermont finally. I wound up in Vermont because as I was passing through, it looked like a nature channel. It looked like Walt Disney Presents. I figured, oh, my God. I was sitting there thinking of sitting on the dock in the bay. I was by Lake Champlain watching the ferry. And then, you know, so I moved there. And then when the lake was steaming because it was freezing, you know, I had some second thoughts because, you know, I have cold hair to carry. I'm allergic to the cold. So I thought, oh, my gosh. But I took art there, and I really tried. But I realized that I wasn't going to teach art, and I wanted to actually really be an artist. So I came back and tried to get a job at Mallorca. There was this place, Mallorca. They make sculptures. They make cast iron things. And I was too little, and they didn't think I could carry 500 pounds. So then I tried to assist artists, and I did. And I found that, you know, artists, you know, can be really sexist. And I had a couple of experiences with them, and I figured, you know what? And this last one, the last one that I assisted that got really weird on me, he played clarinet. And I said, you play, you know, and he played gigs. And he said, yeah, music is wonderful for me and blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah. And then I started to think about it, and I said, you know, I don't have to go to school and put up with a lot of aggro from these people who think they know who I am. I could just sing. So, you know, I went to sing, and I joined a band. I lost my voice first thing, which was a good thing, because then I had to learn how to protect my voice. So, you know, but I studied a lot, you know. I studied with a jazz teacher, Lenny Tristano School of Jazz. I studied... I finally found Katie Gresta. She's been my life's teacher. She taught me vocal therapy, how to fix everything I mess up so that I could sing the way I want to sing, not how I just can sing.
And
sometimes you just, this is how I can sing today, as opposed to this is how I want to sing and do it.
Right. I want to play. I mean, you went in those woods. You walked into the nature channel. You came out. You found your voice. We're glad for it. And it's been around for a long time now. And here's one more track out of the sort of Memphis period of Cyndi Lauper. This is Early in the Morning, collaborating here with blues legends Alan Toussaint and B.B. King.
I love B.B. King.
Oh, yeah.
Went to all the places that we used to go. But he don't live there no more. Now it's early in the morning.
in the morning. Just a taste of it there, Cyndi Lauper's blues chapter. Cyndi Lauper joins us from New York today. Cyndi, stand by for just a second. We've also got with us now, just for a minute here, Rich Jeswiak. He's a pop culture writer for The Daily. Been following you and many others for a long time. Rich, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
What do you make of this unique and marvelous career of Cyndi Lauper, this very individualistic singer and her mark, Rich?
Yeah, I think individualistic is the word. I think that she has long been a maverick, not only in her appearance and her voice, but actually in the content of her music as well. I was reading that Girls Just Want to Have Fun, she rewrote, it was given to her, and she rewrote it to make it less misogynistic. She talked about female masturbation and got a top five hit from it. Yeah. She talked about AIDS before, you know, President Reagan ever said the word.
Mm-hmm.
So she's long been, I think, an innovator.
Do you see artists today who may owe their character, their persona, to their art, to some of the turf that Cyndi Lauper helped open up, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think you can look at Lady Gaga and not think of Cyndi Lauper. You know, a lot of people say Madonna when it comes to Gaga, but to me, Cyndi jumps out. Nicki Minaj, too. I mean, even people like Katy Perry or Kesha. And what's interesting is that on the Maverick tip, you know, it took about 30 years to come back around to a point where eccentricity was a commodity, where it behooved you to be different. For a long time, there was kind of a homogenization after Cyndi. So it's really interesting that we've kind of come back around so many years later.
Cyndi Lauper, do you feel like the world is sort of maybe in Gaga, Nicki Minaj, and others come back around to some of the mold that you were making?
Well, I got excited when I saw them because, you know, I love art. You know, there wasn't just me doing that then. Talking Heads, mm-hmm. David Burns, when he had that grass coat.
Yeah.
Come on, that was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I just think art and fashion, I guess a couture fashion is very close to art. I think in the beginning I wasn't doing fashion so much as just putting the decades together and tying a bow on it or something, and painting myself. I felt, you know, everybody was like, oh, don't paint yourself. That's so tacky. And I didn't care because I thought that the color made me feel more alive. And I think Gaga reminds me a lot of a sculpture sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And Nicki does too. I think that, you know, the young inspire the older artists too. When I worked with Gaga on the Viva Glam campaign, it had been a long time for me
mm-hmm.
where I could just be myself and I could wear what I thought looked nice and not worry that I was going to look like a freakazoid, you know.
It works both ways. And she inspired you back. You may have opened the way for her. It works both ways.
It does. It does.
Hey, Rich, what do you hear in Cyndi Lauper's blues, Rich?
Well, it feels completely natural to me. And what it makes me wonder is if kind of falling out of the pop charts was ultimately liberating because it feels like she was able to go to places and kind of experiment artistically with something that might not be played on top 40 radio and yet feels totally natural. And from what I can tell, completely gratifying artistically.
And came out as the top blues album of the year. We'll ask Cyndi Lauper about exactly that. Rich Jeswiak with The Daily. Thanks so much for joining us, Rich. Cyndi Lauper, stand by in New York. It is such a treat to have you with us. We're going to hear a lot more. Here's True Colors from way back. This is a live performance on The View in 2007. Cyndi Lauper's singing. Oh, I'm sorry. This is The Goonies. Excuse me. The Goonies are good enough. We're trying to come back to True Colors.
I like what the kids are saying now and when they're marching, that what's good enough for you is good enough for me.
Yeah, we are.
It's gotta be more equal.
We are the 99%. This is Cyndi Lauper. I'm Tom Ashbrook. You can join us, 800-423-8255. This is On Point. We'll be right back with Cyndi Lauper. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour with pop icon Cyndi Lauper. She's out with a new DVD, To Memphis with Love, with a lot of blues. And just this last month, her own version of the classic Christmas country song Blue Christmas, famously covered by Ernest Tubbs and Elvis Presley, more recently by Bright Eyes and Billy Idol and Andrea Bocelli. She joins us today from New York, and what a treat to have her with us. Cyndi, here's online from Merrill. Says, I remember sneaking into bars down the Jersey Shore to hear Cyndi play with Blue Angel in the very early 1980s. I was 17 with an older boyfriend and a fake ID. Those were some great concerts. Thank you, Cyndi. And lots of callers for you. Jesse in Cambridge, Massachusetts. You're on the air with Cyndi Lauper.
Hey.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
I have something about the 80s, but I want to talk about now, which is just on this program, Cyndi. It is such a gift to hear about you talk about your artistic questions and growth and progress and process and stuff. And I wanted to say your voice. I mean, hearing you sing blues, like old school blues, it's so natural. First, I was kind of thinking, huh? But your voice is perfect there.
Oh,
and,
thank you.
I also want to say about the 80s. That when you came on at house parties, when you came on the boombox, everybody was on their feet. Like, nobody was left sitting down talking about whatnot. And am I still on?
Yes, you are, Jesse.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's on their feet with the boombox. We're back in the 1980s.
Excuse me?
Everybody's on their feet with the boombox with you, Jesse, and we're back in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah, at the house parties, because nobody wanted to pay covers.
Right.
yeah, but, you know, back then I was kind of wondering what's going on, like, with Madonna and Boy George and Prince, and I always felt about you that you were like, this girl's no poser, she's just wild, and let's go. You know, you got a lot of the boys have fun too, not just the girls.
I know. My son told me that. He told me that when he was 4. He was very adamant about that. Mom, boys want to have fun too. You can't sing that song anymore unless you put boys want to have fun.
I love it. No question about it. Jesse, I appreciate your call. How old is your son now? Declan Wallace Thornton Lauper, named after Elvis Costello and William Wallace, no less. How old is he?
I know. It's Lauper Thornton. He is Lauper. He is 14 years
14.
Old, just 14.
And
yeah,
Elvis,
it's tough age.
Elvis Costello and William Wallace, it makes us think of what Mel Gibson in his movie.
It.
Yeah, why? Was the movie out when Declan was born?
Yeah. And my husband is part Scottish, and, you know, at first I thought, no, it's going to be a girl. And we're like, no, it's actually going to be a boy. And we said, well, he's got to have a magical name. And Braveheart, you know, my son, they thought he had a hole in his heart. And I was on tour with Tina Turner at the time.
Yeah.
And I was very nervous about the kid, but they said it would only be worse if I sat around home being nervous. So I sang. And he came out okay. And he had a 9-10 APGAR score when he was born. So I was very happy about that. And, you know, he didn't... That's why he was Braveheart, too, because he live through it,
yeah.
You know?
Bless him. That's great. 14. Now, Declan Wallace, Lauper Thornton there. John in Lexington, Kentucky. John, you're on the air with Cyndi Lauper.
Yes. Hi, Cyndi.
Hi.
I am so lucky to have been in my 20s when you were at your peak in the 80s. I just always admired your charisma and excitement that you delivered on stage. And I wanted to ask, above the cliche of saying you were just an icon in that time, I just wanted to ask what your relationship and perhaps rivalry was with Madonna during that period. And
two New York girls.
Still stay in touch.
No, she wasn't from New York. It's okay. Mm. She was from the Midwest.
Okay.
She's not from
Michigan,
New York.
Right, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. But she used to be sitting outside when I was in Blue Angel. She would be, we'd see her all the time on 29th Street and 30th Street. I actually saw her play in a little club when she played bass. And I thought she was really cute, but I was so stuck into what I was doing. I wasn't thinking about somebody else. I was thinking about me. And I always believed that sisterhood is a powerful thing. And when everyone started to pit us against each other, it kind of hurt my feelings. And I felt really badly about it because I don't like to be like that with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel competitive. I feel a sense, a bond. And I believe in, you know, I was brought up in the whole woman's consciousness raising era,
mm-hmm.
you know. So to turn around and do that made me feel a little, it was off-putting for me.
What did you think of the different paths you've taken? I mean, she really went down that, you know, global star path and worked it hard and very successfully.
She's brilliant. Mm. She is brilliant and brilliant at that. Really, really brilliant. I don't know about her, except I laugh sometimes. You know, when I see her and I see her doing stuff, it's very inspiring for me. When I see Prince or I see him doing something, it's inspiring. I love him. I think he's great. I think she's great. I love music. And I know that I'm never going to be like somebody else. And I'm never going to be as good. There's going to be as good and bad. There's good and bad. And you can never measure yourself against someone else. You have to measure yourself against yourself and what you want and where you're going and what your path is. And I came to this planet to sing and do music and raise it up. And that's what I'm doing in my life. And I've been told over and over, if you do this, it'll be the end and blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, how many times can you be told that? And I just, you know what? It's not my path. I'm not going there. I'm going where I'm going. And I think that music is a gift, and the vibration of music lifts people up. And I work on my body. I work on my voice. Mm. And I work on my music, and that's the most important thing. And I try and be with my family and have a family life, too. And that's, you know, that's basically my life. And I can't look at other people and go, you know, sometimes I laugh and go, you know, well, I'm cleaning up the dog poop. I might think, Madonna wouldn't do this.
Right,
you know,
right.
No, I'm kidding. But
the staff,
you know,
would, but she is, but a businesswoman, right? I mean, Madonna, really, she's got talent, but she works the business end of it.
Well,
like
she's
crazy
very
too.
Bright. She's very bright that way. I'm not, I don't think like that. I'm trying to, because my family's like, hey, Ma.
Right.
But, I guess I'm an artist first. I just always, my whole life, wanted to be a great artist, and I wanted to contribute to the world. I grew up in a generation where, you know, the president was on television going, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. So, you know, it was all inspiring. I listened to Martin Luther King say, I have a dream. I listened to Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan talk about women's liberation. I am a product of that time.
I want to ask you about that, your activism, your own activism, and maybe as we go there, just to hear True Colors, and again, this of course goes way back to your 1986 song, but this is you on The View in 2007, the year that you launched your True Colors tour, benefiting the Human Rights Campaign and other organizations that support the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual community. Cyndi Lauper, True Colors.
In a world full of people, you can lose sight of it all. In the darkness so inside, you make you feel so small. But I see your true colors shining through. I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So don't be afraid to let them show you true colors, beautiful like a rainbow.
Cyndi Lauper with 1986 True Colors, singing there in 2007, and True Colors seemed to work very well as the kind of brand for your activism on LGBT issues. What took you to that as the focus for your activist energy, Cyndi?
Well, I grew up I'm a friend and family of the community, and I grew up watching my friends and my sister be discriminated against, and in a way that you couldn't even imagine, where you worry every day about people's fear and anger and homophobia. And, you know, I always saw the hypocrisy in things. And being a still recovering Catholic, I used to listen, and I still hear them go all out about what they think about, you know, civil rights for everybody, not mm-hmm. just some people. Mm-hmm. And they harbor pedophiles. And I think, well, you know, what are you telling me? That that's not the devil's work, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I think people use, they have God and the devil. There's also people who don't believe in God. I believe in fairness. I believe in the human spirit. And I believe that you cannot live in a country and say, we live in a free country, America, the home of the free and the brave. But we're so fearful of anybody different that we discriminate against them. And here's the thing. You start pointing to people and going, yeah, we can all have rights except for you over there and you mm-hmm. over there and you over there. Well, one of those times, you might find yourself in the line of the people that can't have civil rights. So either you have civil rights for everybody or you don't. And I don't want other people's religion on me, and they don't want my religion on them. In fact, last time I woke up, I thought this was the United States where people have freedom of religion, and you don't have to subscribe to other people's religion being written down in the law. You know?
It sounds like you were listening very closely to Dr. Martin Luther King back in the day, Cindy. It sounds like you absorbed it way down.
I did. I think that every civil rights movement needs everybody to stand up and say this isn't right. But like Dr. King said, I believe deeply in my heart that history, the arc of justice in history bends. Mm-hmm. The arc of history bends towards justice. Is that it?
Yes, it is. It's long, but it bends toward justice. Barack Obama likes to talk about that. We've got it now from Cindy Lauper as well. I want to get a little more.
Well, just the fact that we have a half black, half white man in the government. Hey, this is the dawning of the age of Aquarius, and I hope to God that all that stuff is true.
You heard it here. Here, a little bit more Memphis Blues. Cindy Lauper covering Lil Green's 1940 hit, Romance in the Dark.
In the dark, it's just you and I. There's not a sound. There's not one sound. Just the beat of my poor heart. In the dark.
Romance in the Dark. Gosh, I love that, Cindy. One more call here. Annie in Saxton's River, Vermont. Annie, you're on the air with Cindy Lauper.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Cindy.
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on. Cindy, I saw you in probably 1980 in Blue Angel in a little tiny club in San Francisco. And I was a teenager trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life. You were up on the piano dancing and jumping up and down. And the things you said in between your songs were also just really inspiring. And part of what happened from that evening was it inspired me to go on to become a music writer. I knew I didn't want to be a musician, but I loved writing about all the arts, including music. And I had so much to say about your concert that night. I was telling everybody and their uncle and trying to describe it to them. So you don't just inspire musicians, you inspire all artists, including writers. So I just wanted to thank you for that.
Oh, I'm glad you're writing. And have a wonderful holiday season.
Thanks. Hey, you too.
Hey, Annie, that's great. What do you hope you inspire in people, Cindy? What do you hope you inspire?
I hope I inspire them to be joyful, or if they see something that they could fix, they fix it. I hope I inspire the good in people. Not that I'm always good, because I'm not, but, you know, that's, you know, for our highest purpose, always, you know? That's how I think.
That's a pretty good place to point. I know at some point recently you were talking, I mean, you were there with Donald Trump on his Celebrity Apprentice to raise money for True Colors, for your activism.
No, and there I can't even go into it, but I couldn't say, you know, I kept saying True Colors. He didn't even know, you know, half the time what the heck I was talking about, I guess. he was very nice to me.
Yeah.
You know, and then he came out and said all those things that just broke my heart. I just couldn't believe it. But, you know.
Including you're fired.
me fired? No. Well, what are you going to do? You know,
it's the show.
You can't show me the woman with the child, you know, because I keep seeing the cartoon of the woman with the child in the snow. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to say, okay, fine. You know, I just felt so bad for her. But I was able to launch the Give a Damn campaign through that show. So I'm very, very, very grateful. And I was able to say, you know, LGBT civil rights. It's a civil rights movement. And until everybody has freedom, really, none of us do.
Cyndi Lauper, you know. It's terrific. Cyndi Lauper stands up for what she believes in, whether it's on Donald Trump's show or in her music or on the stage. Her new DVD is To Memphis with Love, and it's great. Cyndi, thank you so much for being with us today. Good luck to you. Good holidays to you as well. Wonderful
to have
you.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays.
Thanks so much. Cyndi Lauper, we'll go out with Time After Time from 1984 when she was as big as they get. Cyndi, thanks for joining us. Listeners, thanks to you as well. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. If you fall, I will get you.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR.